Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scover, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back. We're at the Roundtable today with Okara Imani.
It's just really asking the right questions mm-hmm. that determines what answer you get back or if you get an answer back. And I would say that's one of the discouraging aspects or like lower points mm-hmm. of trying to build a career in music is one, not asking the right questions or asking for the right things.
Yeah. Or being afraid claiming. To ask.
I think. Oh, yeah, exactly. Being afraid to ask and not claiming things for yourself. So even right. I didn't have a concept of myself having a professional career until about this year almost, where it felt like I could say that.
Yeah.
But I did it all 2019 professionally, but I wasn't claiming it for myself, you know? And so when the COVID-19 lockdown initiated,
oh boy.
Rambled, and I was like, that website that I always thought about doing, I was like, oh God, I need to do that right now.
Yeah.
Just in case that's the only thing that, you know, is saving me
for
that time.
It was going like, digital, having a presence where people can find you, and
not having that physical audience and having to, you know, they have to be able to reach me. I have to be able to reach them.
And I think performance artists, whether it's musicians or, you know, theater people or dance, you know, dance mm-hmm. people who dance. I think that is the COVID-19 has hit particularly hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, a painter can and a photographer can put images up in virtual exhibits. Mm-hmm. You know, poets can do what you just did, read mm-hmm. out loud virtually. It's harder to do the presentation performance arts because mm-hmm. those are so traditionally grounded in that reciprocity between artist and audience.
Exactly.
And it must be a very strange thing to, for example, maybe you're going to go live stream or you're going to go live on Facebook mm-hmm. or you're going to do something like that and you perform your piece and you don't hear the clapping, you know, you don't hear the applause and you just have to go on, you know, you just kind of be like, okay, there was applause. Okay. You know, you have to adjust to the performance in almost like a void. And, that I am so impressed with musicians who are adjusting to COVID-19.
Nice.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys are doing it. I don't know how you guys are doing it. And I wish that our organization could do a lot more to support musicians. We used to rent a venue for about 6 years that was sold, you know, and we had to get out, you know, because the building sold. But when we rented the venue, you know, we had touring musicians from all over the country, all over the world came through almost every weekend. Yeah. So I understand how important venues are for musicians,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we are as an organization working on partnering with some other organizations and groups to try to get places that musicians can go and safely with social distancing perform live again. I'll talk to you about some of those things when we're off camera. But
wonderful, yes.
But
it's something you can't replicate, or you can't really supplement the actual physical vibrations in a room with a shared space.
Mm-hmm.
And how they resonate between people.
Yeah.
Well,
and when you
also
first,
the atmosphere,
yeah.
like you're losing the opportunity to create and participate in an atmosphere when everyone is in their own separate environment. It's very, very hard to do.
I know. I am so grateful for Zoom technology and different technology right now so that I can continue our At the Roundtable podcast like this. But, you know, the At the Roundtable podcast started in my dining room at my 6-foot round butcher block table, and we recorded at the round table.
Exactly.
And you know, now I'm recording sitting on a couch in front of my laptop. You know, it's a little different, but the round table's right there, so I feel like it still counts. But I, you know, it is, you're right, it isn't the same thing. And I think what you said at the beginning of the interview about how you approach the world and how you see the world and how connected you are to it, I can only imagine that as a musician who hasn't been able to perform live because of COVID-19 very much this year, if at all, that's got to just be a very difficult adjustment internally, like in your soul, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I get, you can't imagine, and I try to share with an audience every time I perform, I try to share with them what an impact their energy makes when they're sending it back to me. Mm-hmm. I always open with an a cappella piece. I don't record that piece. I don't do that piece in any kind of non-live setting, mm-hmm. but I do it live, and it's literally to tune ourselves.
Yeah.
To everyone else in the room, and they can't, I don't know if they fathom like what that means to me and how it feels to have them in that space when I do that. So it is very difficult to be singing to cameras. It's very difficult to be singing into essentially a void, because a lot of the pre-scheduled live stuff, you know, I send a video in.
Yeah. Well, I've asked you to send in, you know, audio files or video files.
Yeah,
I want to present the best possible sound.
Exactly, because it just wouldn't.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as a live. Yeah. And you know, the fact that you can articulate how much that means to you as an artist, I believe your audience would get it. I think anybody who could hear you describe that feeling understands exactly what you mean. Because I have sat in rooms, like I said, we had a little listening room venue before, and I've sat there and someone up on the little stage in front of us has started the performance, and you can just feel the entire room just become one.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing, you know, for musicians right now in the world, are those places that we need.
Absolutely.
So, we're starting to get very depressed though. we don't want to focus on the negative. On the positive, that we still can reach each other through screens and people can still hear your music.
Yes, they can still hear me.
Even through a tinny little, you know, little sound thing. But, you know, we have to be positive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to take over your segue, but there are things that I'm working on providing to my audience and my loved ones. It's hard to think of myself as having a collective audience, but my loved ones and my friends. I would like to get a poetry book out, like a tangible. I know someone who bookbinds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Kayla Austin makes books.
Wow, makes by books. Hand. Like, yeah.
That's insane. So I've been talking with her. There's no timeline. I don't make any promises on timeline. It's a rule. But I want the idea of having folks be able to have a tangible
something to hold on to.
Book. Yes. Not only is tangible reading like important to me as a bookworm, but like so that my words they can
flow
through my words and a handmade book, you know, like the order.
I love that idea. I also hope you can find a way to produce something that's an audio version of that, because your voice, when you recited your poem earlier in the segment, that was so powerful. And you know, you have a wonderful reading voice.
Thank you.
And when you're doing hello kitty when you're reading your own work, you know, the power of your writing voice, if you will, your soul voice comes through very strongly. So I hope you can find a way to you know, do an audio version of
it too. Actually, I kind of dabble in that with my podcast that's kind of been dormant for a little while.
Tell people how they can find and connect with your podcast
podcast. Actually, I went ahead and had my podcast linked into my website.
That's what we did.
But also, you can find it anywhere you find a podcast almost. I run it through Anchor, the podcast app. and they have it distributed through Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. There's a couple other ones that like I didn't know existed until until I recorded the podcast.
Yeah, trying to find out that's exactly. What's the name of the podcast?
The podcast is called Just Happy to Be Here.
I love that. That's positive.
It is. I mean, it's really a play off of what I described earlier of my experience of building a career. Just having the experience of people rising to the call and rising to the occasion when I am seeking guidance or making space for me on their platforms. Shout out to Joshua Allen Thompson.
Oh, I love
and Allison Victoria. Mm-hmm. There's just people who make space on their platforms. And that's the kind of thing that continues the circle of the music community, of the creative community in Indianapolis. It happens every day. Even when like shaky things happen sometimes.
Shaky things are definitely happening.
But there is that cycle of support and love and giving.
Yeah.
So that's where that name came from. Just happy to be here. I'm just happy that I'm on the podcast. You've clicked, you're listening. I'm just happy to be performing before you. Like, that's where that comes from.
That's wonderful. That's great. So what else is on the artistic horizon for you?
So I have been slowly building, collecting equipment for a home studio. I was going to go on the journey of, you know, finding just the right studio and the right producers, but I really fell in love with the idea, especially when we got locked down, of just doing my best and putting together collective knowledge and guidance from those around me that are doing amazing work, and just having my own stamp on every element of a small EP that I will be working on as soon as I get settled into my new apartment. There's going to be a whole room just for this. Like,
that's awesome.
I'm going to go all the way.
Artist in residence. I love that.
Finally. And having it have a dedicated space where I can like focus and feel, you know, the dedication in the room with me. So I'm really excited about that, because then I will have not only my features and my co-writer credits, you know, out on the streams, but I'll also have my original work, just you know, me putting out whatever is in my heart, and we'll be able to stream that. So that's
wonderful.
Exciting.
I'm very excited for you to do that. Hurry up and move and get that going.
I gotta get that going.
Get that going for the rest of us. We need it.
Isn't it always overdue though? It's always overdue.
I know it is. But you know what? The world is out there waiting for you and waiting for your music, and we're waiting, and it will happen. And I can't wait for all that to. You keep in contact with me, and we'll help. We'll help promote as much as we can.
Thank you. I love
that. Get that up and running. Yeah, because I feel like one of the blessings of starting this podcast that we do is, and I say we because normally my partner in crime, Sarah E. Morin, she's a local author. She has a full-time job, and she's the other half of CE Arts, and she's at work, so I'm kind of taking over a lot of the recording stuff, but I say we because she's always with me in spirit, you know, but we want to, you know, continue promoting other artists and other organizations and things, and one of the blessings of creating this podcast and the way that we're reaching out and everything is that I get to meet people like you and then follow your careers for the rest of my life. And that's just fabulous. So
like one person at a time, just broadening your horizon.
It enriches me. It enriches me. It helps me send good vibes out in the world too, as an organization and as a person. So I so appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing your story with us and everything that you're doing, especially during, you know, the kind of crazy times that are going past us outside our windows.
Oh gosh.
In terms of pandemic and other things. It's just been a little bit rock our world and not in a good way, right? You know? But we have to get better. We all have to get better and do better for each other. And you know, break down the barriers and become one. I truly believe that. And so I really do appreciate you coming on the podcast
and
sharing your story with me and with our our audience. And I wish you all the best in all your endeavors, and we will keep in touch, I promise.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, can I share something?
Yes,
I almost
yes,
forgot.
Yes.
So, okay, a part of my childhood, again, was my dad sharing a lot of things with me. So he used to listen to NPR every day when he picked me up from school. So I fell in love with that sort of talk radio, the very worldly view perspective of music and politics and social stratus. So I've been working with Classical Music Indie over the past year or so, doing their random acts of music, participating with Josh Thomas with his residency with Eskenazi. So I interviewed for a position, and of course, you know, if you don't get a certain position, I always like to make sure that, you know, you think of me, something else comes up.
Something else comes out. Yeah.
This is all the things I love and can do well. And so I have been recording and writing promos for the 9 o'clock hour of Classical Music Indie.
Are you serious? Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So yesterday I was.
That's a highlight.
Heard my voice.
I know. Like, I'm so glad you said, wait, I got one more story to tell. Because yes. That's definitely encouraging.
And I heard my own voice speaking about a Dvorak piece.
My gosh.
It was amazing.
That's surreal. So yeah, excited. Right? You know, it's like, yes. My voice. Yeah.
Right. It was my voice. It was my words. Like, I got to write about the piece.
That's
and cool. This is just the beginning. I'm going to say that now. Like, this is just the beginning. But I am so, so very excited, especially as a Black woman working in the realm of classical music. It always gives me so much honor, or like a sense of honor, when I hear the feedback from parents of young Black and brown children.
Yeah.
And seeing even their faces in the random acts of music and being like, oh, she's doing that. It's kind of like, oh, we can do that too. Yeah,
exactly. Well, and that's exactly what the world needs more of. So I am so thrilled for you.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited for the generations of children who will see and hear your work moving forward. I'm so thrilled by that. I truly thank you for coming on the podcast and talking with me today. I
thank
really
so
appreciate
much,
it. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.